we have always been very clear. We know that we're going to do a token sale, right? So I think many of these criticisms came in, I feel like, you know helicopters, you know, they fly by and they drop shit, you know? It felt that way to me.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Unchained, your no-hype resource for all things crypto. I'm your host, Laura Shin, author of The Cryptopians. I started covering crypto 8 years ago, and as a senior editor at Forbes, was the first mainstream media reporter to cover cryptocurrency full-time. This is the February 2nd, 2024 episode of Unchained. With iTrust Capital, you can buy and sell crypto in a tax-advantaged retirement account. Enjoy significant tax advantages, 24/7 access, and the industry's lowest fees. VaultCraft is your no-code DeFi toolkit for customizing non-custodial automated yield products on any EVM chain. Join the referral program today and start earning rewards. Learn more at vaultcraft.io. Hey, Unchained listeners. As you know, it's hard keeping up with the fast-paced world of crypto, so we've got just the thing for you. Subscribe to our free Unchained daily newsletter at unchainedcrypto.substack.com. You'll get the latest crypto news in original articles from our reporters, as well as summaries of other happenings in bullet points, plus our meme of the day, all curated and written by our amazing team. It's still your no-hype resource for all things crypto, just in newsletter form. Sign up at unchainedcrypto.substack.com. Again, the URL is unchainedcrypto.substack.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's guest is Miao, founder of Jupiter, a DEX aggregation protocol on Solana. Welcome, Miao.
Hello. Hello, Laura. Nice to meet you.
Congrats on your successful airdrop this week. It didn't seem to break anything. And right out of the gate, it gave your DEX aggregation protocol, Jupiter, an $800 million market cap. So explain to us what it is that Jupiter is and how it works.
Okay, so Jupiter started as a DEX aggregation, right? But actually, we're actually a really broad platform now. Okay, we have aggregation, we have limit orders, we have DCA, we have perps, and recently we launched PAN, right? So I think we are also the most used service on Solana. We do about, and we refer about 80% of organic volume on Solana, right? And recently we also recently crossed Pancake and Uniswap in terms of monthly active users, right? Wallets. So I would say that we are probably, if not the most used trading platform in DeFi today as well. Yeah, and our Perps platform also did 1.4 billion in volume last week. Yeah, so I think we started out being a DEX aggregator, and don't get me wrong, we spent a lot of time, right, making sure that we do the absolute best possible routing, right? You know, and in Solana. Right. But we also I think we have also grown quite a bit, you know, into different products, including Perps and our new launch pad. So I think that's what we're doing.
When I started and I said you're a DEX aggregation protocol, so what would you describe Jupiter as?
Oh, good question. I'll just say that we're building right now, I say that we are building the best exchange in DeFi, you know, right? Basically, I think we have pretty much everything you need in one platform, right? We have Swap, which is the aggregation. And for aggregation, because we aggregate, right, we promise you best price, best user experience, and best token selection, right? That means that whatever token you want, is there, right? And the best UX and the best price, right? And then we have limit orders, and your limit order is actually really special because you can actually place limit orders. You don't need markets for limit orders, right? And then your DCA. So DCA is actually great because DCA is by far the fan favorite, right?
Right, dollar cost averaging, just for non-traders who are listening to this show.
So the very cool thing is that people use us for like DCA for a lot of different things, right? For example, they buy low liquidity coins, right? Or every hour, right? You know? So actually, originally when we did it, we were like, okay, people can use DCA to like DCA sold over 1 month or something, right? Every day for a month. No, people don't do that, right? What people do instead, right, is that they buy very low liquidity coins and then they buy it like incrementally over a few minutes or like every 5 minutes. Right, you know, so that's what you do, you know, right? People love it, right? Because it's a feature that I think doesn't exist anywhere else, right? Or it's not done well anywhere else, you know, on Jupyter.
And that's just to like reduce price slippage?
Yes, precisely. Because you have a lot of things that, for a lot of these low liquidity coins, if you buy like buy 5K, right, it's actually, you will go like, you will hit like 3% already, you know, right? And not just that, you're also a sucker because you imbalance the pool and then someone up you, right? You know, things like that. Or someone front run you, you know, many of that, right? So yeah, so you just do this here, right? You know, yeah. So yeah, it's really cool, I think, you know, yeah. And of course, there are perps as well, retros. And our perps are probably, I think, definitely top few in the industry. And then if you do not consider DYDX and all the other L1s, right, you know, we are probably the top, you know, around there. So yeah, so I think we are perps doing pretty well as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so how did you, like, I mean, you're, you know, doing all this in Solana, but as far as I understand, you've been around in crypto for a little while. So tell us how you got into crypto and came to launch Jupyter.
Long story short is that my crypto journey began, I met a friend in San Francisco who just mysteriously became he was just one of the like smartest guy about Bitcoin I ever knew, right? He taught me everything I knew. It's funny because I met him at a party, right? A Dogecoin party, right? In San Francisco.
And what year was this?
17? No, 16? Can't remember around there, right? So long ago.
Okay.
But anyway, long story short, he asked me what do I know about Bitcoin. I said nothing, right? And I asked him what he know about Bitcoin. He said nothing. So turns out that one of us are lying, you know, right? So anyway, he knew everything, right? So he taught me everything I knew, right? It was a chance encounter, but he taught me everything I knew, right? And after that, I think I went to really advise and help out in a bunch of like projects, including portfolio, you know, which obviously got bought by FTX. So I was an advisor there. And then after I went to, advise projects at Instadat, which is the like Kyber Instadat, you know, and a bunch of others. And we also started WBTC, right, which is the most used wrap token. So WBTC was started as a collaboration between like, so we did a BitGo, right? So together with BitGo and Ren, we started WBTC, right, which is obviously what the most used token today, right? Yeah. After that, at some point, I think I wanted because that was all ETH, right? So before this is all ETH, right? So I think at some point, I think I wanted a new like environment, you know? And then I came to Solana, you know? And then we started a earlier project that then from there we became, it was called Mercurial, and the Mercurial became, right now it became Mitura. And then as part of the process, we started Jupyter. So that's how we ended up with two main projects under our studio right now.
And so this week obviously was the big event with the airdrop, but I know that you guys kind of did like a sort of test run. You had like the WEN token airdrop. So what was the purpose of that? Like, what did you learn from doing the WEN token airdrop that helped you prepare for this one?
At Breakpoint last year, right, I told everybody I wanted to build a launchpad, right? Because I felt that launching new tokens is such an important part of the process. It's really important. It's really, really important, right? It's like, but I also felt like it was really, I didn't like the current models, you know, like everything felt wrong to me, right? From token gate to launch pads to the other ideal models, I just didn't like how they work. And then in addition, right, one of the things that is very important in today's like crypto scene is airdrops, right? It's very, very important, right? Because that is like almost like the main event, right? And there hasn't really been a launch pad that integrated the idea of airdrops into the launch pad, right? You know, and in some sense it's very tricky, right? Because launch pads usually have people. So we wanted to build a system that. So I think anyway, and we had that problem too, right? So in essence, what we ended up doing was that we didn't end up trying to launch Jupe, right? We ended up trying to build a launch pad. Because think about it, right? If I launch a Jupe token without using my launch pad, right? Will I have any credibility to ask any other project to use Jupyter as launch pad? Not possible, right? It's just not possible, you know? So I had to launch Jupe using my own launchpad, right? Does it make sense? And then, so anyway, I was just musing, right? So I was just talking to the community about it. Or we were just on Discord, right? Because I spent a lot of time on Discord, right? So I was just like talking to Discord and everything and stuff. And someone just said, hey, why don't you just launch a meme coin, right? You know, as a dry run for Jupe, right? Because there's a lot of unknowns, right? And I was like, okay, that's a really fucking stupid idea, you know, right? But then obviously, me being me, if it's a stupid idea, I gotta test it, right? So I went on Twitter and be like, hey, someone suggested that we launch a test coin to test the launch pad. the Tesla launch, just like how, you know how Elon test launched test rockets, you know, right? So if Elon can test launch rockets, right, why can't we, you know, test a token launch, you know, right? Think about it, you know? So long story short is that, you know, we say, okay, we're going to launch a token before the, before Joop. It's much more lower stakes, you know, it's much lower stakes because the token is like, obviously much less value, right? But what we can also do is that we can also technically stress test it, right? That means that we can actually, so for Joop, the number of Joop, number of recipients is at 955K. So for this, for the RAND token, we add up to more than a million, right? 1.1 million or something, right? So in many ways, it was like just as technically stressful. It required us to really scale our PCs, really scale up our PCs, really scale our infra, and really get the UI right and everything, but in a much lower state context. Yeah. So that was the point of it, you know? Yeah, obviously it was something fun as well, right? Because so as of now, after testing our launch system with both WAN and Joop, I feel confident now, you know, to tell people to come use us, you know, as a launch pad. You know, so that was a big part of it. Yeah. Does it make sense? Yeah.
Yeah. So in a moment, we'll talk more about how the launch went. But first, a quick word for the sponsors who make this show possible. Did you know you can buy and sell crypto with tax benefits in an individual retirement account? iTrust Capital makes this possible. But what does this mean? When you buy crypto outside an IRA, like on an exchange, you face taxes on gains. But in an IRA, like a Roth IRA, gains can be tax-free. iTrust Capital also has some of the lowest fees in the industry and 24/7 accessibility. Start now and maximize your retirement savings with iTrust Capital. Back to my conversation with Meow. So as you know, the day of your airdrop, the crypto community did seem impressed that, you know, nothing broke. But as I'm sure you saw, then there was a lot of criticism afterward about how people seem to think that the airdrop was beneficial to the Jupiter team. So some examples are people are pointing out that the Jupiter team sold about maybe 20% of the circulating supply from day one at what they consider a high valuation. And the way that this worked, they're saying that the Jupiter team provided liquidity in a liquidity pool on the dynamic liquidity market maker Meteora. But pretty much for at least that first hour, the liquidity pool was basically just Jupiter selling to buyers. And that the price that you guys had set was that it would reach about 70 cents as the number of tokens sold reached 250 million. And, you know, they were pointing out that you guys made this money without any vesting. So what do you say to these criticisms?
Oh, I say they're right. I mean, that's how it works. But as usual, the devil's in details, right? The important thing to understand about this pool, right, it's not a fundraising pool, first and foremost. Okay, it's not a fundraising pool, first and foremost. Okay, it's first and foremost a liquidity bootstrap and backstop pool. Okay, let me explain to you.
I think they're saying the net effect is that it's as if you raised $250 million.
No, it's actually not 250, but first net effect, right? The first net effect. Oh, by the way, first of all, I don't actually, I think we should raise. I don't actually feel bad about raising at all. You know, we didn't do any OTC, we didn't do any VC rounds for Jupiter, right? And we wanted, and the reason we didn't do any of that is that we wanted our first sale, right, to be with the community, right? You know, that's it. We wanted it to be open market sale, right? So a total of like, so think about it, right? Your favorite, whoever criticized me, us, their favorite DeFi protocol probably sold like 20% of tokens or something, right, to a VC, right, who vested over time. Right, we didn't do any of that, or OTC tokens, whatever shit. We didn't do any of that stuff. Right, instead, what we did is very simple. We took 2.5% of total supply, with no further people investing in Jupiter, none. Right, 2.5% open market. Right,
right. You're talking about not the ones released in the airdrop, but the full 10 billion that will eventually.
Yeah. So 2.5% of the ten percent was in it. So 10% was released in the airdrop. Right. And 2.5% was for. By the way, I think just as a context, right? We announced that we're going to do a 20% token sale last year at Breakpoint. 20%. Okay. Mm-hmm. And based on community feedback, we got out 10%, right? And then based on community feedback again, we got 5%, right? And then after that, after we realized, oh shit, the price is going to be really high, right? We got down to 2.5%, right? So actually, we have been like very clear about our intentions to do a token sale from day one, right? If you have been following any of Jupiter stuff, including the Breakpoint, we have always been very, very, very clear that there's a token sale coming. We just weren't sure how to do it. Okay, that's a
okay. First one. So initially, you were calling it a token sale.
Full stop. Done. No, anyone who is interested, check out my Jupiter Breakpoint presentation. Right, you know, it was I presented it in Breakpoint in front of thousands of people, and also in front of everybody. And I've been talking about it for months and months and months on Discord and anywhere. Okay, I even went on two live streams before the talk. Okay, and even for when, right? I tweeted a handover ceremony, right, whereby the tokens were taken out and given to the team, right? The team that's running WAM, right? First of all, okay. So I think if you have been following Jupiter in any way, you will know that number one, we have always been very clear. We know that we're going to do a token sale, right? So I think many of these criticisms came in. I feel like you know helicopters, you know, they fly by and they drop shit, you know. It felt that way to me. You know, right?
So you feel like you were messaging that it was a token sale, the mechanism of this liquidity, you know, being a liquidity provider that came later after you had called it a token sale. Is that?
I feel like, first of all, I do apologize, right? I do apologize, you know, if there's any misunderstanding, right? I think on my end, I do feel like I've been signaling and communicating very, very clearly all year long that is I'm doing a token sale, right? Very clearly. I mean, you can't get more clear than going on stage in a few thousand people and say calling a token sale. You just can't get more clear than that. Am I right? You know, right? And thirdly, and secondly, you must understand one thing. Laura, you must really understand this thing. There is an extremely good chance that I don't actually get any money out of this. USDC out of this at all. Okay? Because first and foremost, this is a backstop pool. Now, what does that mean? It means that anyone, whether you're an airdrop recipient, okay, or someone with buyer remorse, right? You can just dump into this pool for 7 days. 7 days, okay? And you know what happened earlier in the day, right? People are farting it so hard that it really just started retreating, right? It really started draining up, right? All the way to like 54, 53 or something, you know, right? Until it started reversing back, right? You know, so that's a very good chance, right? That it just get dumped nothing, you know? So the whole idea that, so first and foremost, right? So you must understand why we do not see that as a token sale pool. Right, because first and foremost, it's a backstop pool. Okay, now what does that mean? It means that at any point in time, right, the Jupe token falls below 0.4, 40 cents, right? We get nothing, full stop, right? We get the pool. That's it. So we get tokens back, right? You know, and the fees from the pool.
Yeah, the critics are saying that, you know, since the tokens were made out of thin air, it's like the risk is, you know, just.
That is actually a very, 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 very unfair statement to make. Guys, sorry, man. That's a really, really, really unfair statement to make. We worked extremely hard, okay, to create an asset that people wanted to buy, okay, right? That a lot of people felt symbolizes DeFi 2.0, okay? You know, and we were extremely careful, okay, about every single token that got released, okay? Check out jupe.research, right? Jupe Research, JUPREAR.CH, okay? Check it out, right? We really checked it out. We documented the whole, because we treat Jupe as a very valuable resource. Okay. So we documented every single step of the token minting, accountability. For example, right, all our core wallets, we can't actually sign or release it. Why? Because we actually got professional custodians and three ecosystem people, right? Well-known people, right? Such that like if you want to unlock the core wallet stuff, they have to sign in, you know, right? And then we are very, very close to finding the professional custodian, right, for that. So I think we build the community up, the user base up, the product up, right, for this to be a very valuable token, okay? First and foremost, okay? It's not out of thin air, okay? That's very important, okay? If it's out of thin air, why don't they do it, right? Think about it, right? If it's out of thin air, why don't they do it? No, seriously, Laura, work with me, okay? If it's really out of thin air, right? Why don't they do it, right? And make it and set it at this price and let people buy it. No, it's not out of thin air, Laura. It's not. It's the manifestation of like years and years of commitment, effort, commitment to the ecosystem, right? You know, and community building, ecosystem building, okay? And then resulted in the token that people wanted to buy, okay? As a result, that token had value, right? And we were very careful of protecting the value, okay? We locked everything up properly, had everything in wallets that a community can track, right? And we took a small piece of that out into out of a sale, right? And remember, there's no more vesting, right? There's 5% for Mercurial and 20% for team, right? But there's nothing else. Okay, so we're very, very careful how to use it. Okay, that's it. That's all I'll say. You know, yeah.
Okay, and then so there was another criticism about, you know, as we mentioned, you were using Meteora, which was this dynamic liquidity market maker for the liquidity pool. And I guess on there, the swap fee that liquidity providers earn consists of both a base fee and a variable fee. Mm-hmm. And the variable fee is based on real-time volatility. And they're saying right. that this dynamic where the sales were mostly just all happening in one direction created a lot more volatility, which then jacked up that fee that you would earn. So what do you say to that criticism?
I'll say that correct. It's actually one big, this system is very new, right? So I think one thing I'll say, this system is very new, okay? It's a very new system. We are experimenting everything, okay? Like guys, this is our second launch, okay? It was our first launch literally happened less than a week ago, by the way. Guys, just for some context, okay? The WAN launch happened 4 days before the Jupe launch. 4 days, okay? Right? So yes, we do things on the fly, for sure, okay? We learn a lot, okay? The fees were high, but the pool was relatively small, like 3 million, right? So it just flew through really fast, right? You know, so we didn't really pay attention, we didn't really think about that much, right? For the Jupe one, it went really slowly, and we were able to see that. So they're right, so 100% right, right? If I would do it again, I'll say much lower for sure, right? Because it wasn't just a problem with the fees. The problem was actually that it really kind of hurt the pool as well, price discovery wise. So for sure, you know? Yeah. Anyway, guys, I think if anyone is trying to, but if you are asking that question out of good intention, right? They're saying, oh, you can probably improve the system by doing a fees. I 100% agree. No problem, right? But if you are insinuating you're doing it for the money, then I think our track record speaks for itself. You know, we spend a very, very long time. You know, I personally did a lot of projects for no money, right? And then we spent a lot of time in Solana, making no money at all. Right, you know, just working our ass off, right? So I feel like I feel like we are very clean here, you know, in terms of how we think about it, you know. So I think in summary, 100% for future launches, the pool fee will be much lower, right? And then for this one, the pool is set already, you know, and we just learn from it, you know. Honestly, it really hurt us. I'll tell you the truth. This pool fee thing hurt us yesterday, you know, because it really hurt the pool from breaking out. You know, it's okay, we learn, you know. As I said, okay, so Laura. One last thing is that I always tell people that, so if you look at my tweets, right? Now, this is very important, okay? This is very, very important. I've always said that we're experimenting and we will mess up, okay? And all mess up, and we mess up, it's my fault, okay? Done. So I own it, okay? I own that the fees are too high. I own that the number of the systems that people wanted to use to buy the token, that DCA limit all didn't work that well. You know, I also own that some of the comms were not done as well because, for example, earlier, right? It's like, to me, it was so clear what it was, right? That when I communicated, okay, it's a DLMM backstop. It's team owned DLMM backstop liquidity pool. So it was hard for me to register that people might not understand that, you know? So I apologize for that, you know? Right. But anyway, I think, you know, I'll tell you, like, I mess up a lot, you know, and I learn, you know, that's how it works, you know? Yeah. But now I think, but the good thing is this, after we do Jupe, right? The good thing is this, everyone now, every project that uses LFG now, right? They have this problem. The whole world will understand how it works, right? And then I think it's great, yeah.
All right. And so one other question is, like, I guess the plan initially was in the liquidity pool for the price to go up to 70 cents as the number of tokens sold was about 500 million. But then shortly before the airdrop, I guess that got changed. So it was 250.
250. No, 250.
No. But I saw a screenshot of before the plan was it would be 500 million sold for it to reach that price. But then it got changed to 250 million sold for it to reach that price. So basically, you know, you guys were selling at this higher price faster. So why did you make that change?
I mean, we keep changing things, right? I mean, like, in fact, if you look at our website, there's this entire model. It's actually on the website, actually. It's actually under lfg.jupe.ag/design. Okay? And you can find that. So it's a tool that our intern built. It's an amazing intern, by the way. He built a tool to allow anybody to input a few parameters and output a graph and output the price rates and everything, right? So what we were doing is that we were actually very, very actively trying to figure out what the good system was, you know, and we actually made a decision a day before, you know. Again, we do things on the, we are quite experimental, okay. We finished the when thing last week, and then we did handover on Monday, I think, and then we did Juke on Wednesday, you know, right? So yeah, it was actually pretty tight. Anyway, what happened was that, you know, we just looked at numbers and we're like, okay, you know what, is this too much? Do I want to do this thing, right? And then we said, hey, it feels better to do it this way, you know. So we cut it down, you know, and then we. Correspondingly, we published the tokenomics to reflect everything as well, you know. Yeah. So basically, it was a matter of like, you know, us like looking through the numbers and thinking about it, you know. I would say if I would do it again, I would say that I was a bit too aggressive on the pricing, the low to high price, and the reason. Okay, here's a funny thing. Do you know? Basically, what happened, right, is that in earlier launches, I think we were very heavily criticized. Okay. The one thing to understand about this whole LFG for the listeners who are not too familiar with LFG, right? The core concept here is open market, right? That means that whether you're airdrop or you're bot or you are the DLM pool, it opens at the same time, right? So it's a very dynamic like open market system, okay? And the reason is because I think there's nothing that I think unlike other it's on chain, right? So anything happens. There's multiple pools happening everywhere, right? So, and the reason, and it's actually really important to understand that, because we actually feel like that's actually the only way to do like proper, like, you know, price discovery, right? You know, everything. Because there'll be a lot of people dumping too, you know, right? Okay, but back to the point. So actually, but in earlier launches, we were heavily criticized, right? The community was killing us, right? Because some of the early botters, they got in at a very low price, right? And they made like millions, right? And then the community was very, very unhappy about it, okay? So if you ask me thinking, looking back, what happened was that we over protected for that scenario, you know, right? By setting interest price a bit too high, right? So basically what happened was that the max price ended up being like, you know, the per price, you know, and then the initial price started being a bit high as well. It's actually because you wanted to protect against like, you know, botters being too aggressive early on, you know. But I guess we got a bit carried away by that, right? I think if I do it again, I'll probably lower both, right? I'll lower 0.4 to like 0.25. And low 0.7 to 0.655 or something. You know, I think that'll be a good range. You know, hindsight, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And last criticism, again, we just need to go through these to address some of the stuff I've seen online. But critics are also pointing out that Jupiter paid itself 100 million tokens for use of its own launchpad.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, for sure. No, that's great because we're eating on dog food, right? Again, we don't get the tokens. The DAO does get, sorry, no, we get 25% of that. No, it Laura, dog food is very important, okay? Like dog fooding, okay? Like, you know, it's a commitment, okay? If I'm going to ask other projects to pay 1%, right? And I'll pay 1%, right? Again, the team gets 25% of it, right? The most of it goes to the Jupe DAO, okay? So the Jupe DAO from day one gets 0.75% of WEN and 0.75% of Jupe. That's nice, right? You know, it's a really good incentive, right, from the start. Again, we don't get most of it, you know, right? And we wouldn't sell a job anyway, you know? Like, we just wouldn't sell it, you know? So, you know, it's cool, you know? I think it's great. I think to anyone who criticized that, I'm like, no, I've been signaling that forever, okay? I've been very... I tweeted about it like 5 times, okay? So if you're going to criticize us without understanding that most of it goes to the DAO, firstly, okay? And secondly, we're dog fooding. And thirdly, I've been talking about it for a long time already. Come on, guys, give me a break. You know, start reading. You know, yeah.
Okay. So obviously now you know overcame this major hurdle. Obviously this launch was, you know, I'm sure a big deal. So what are the next plans for Jupiter?
I think the next plan for us is really to start to stabilize. I think right now, I think everyone's like really, really tired. I think. I feel like anyway, I apologize for being so annoying. But I feel like I woke up today to a lot of accusations that were based on bad faith, lack of reading, and no questioning. Right? You know, there was no attempts to ask me what happened. There was no attempts to clarify, read through the previous things I've written. no attempts to actually read through. I mean, you are a researcher, right? You know, right? I mean, you know, right? Before you throw out accusations for people, you will read, right? You know, you would. I know you would, right? So I feel like we spend a lot of time trying to figure out a launch system that is actually very community friendly. Again, we don't take out anything until the airdrop dumpers and buy remorse and everyone has signed in. And also the other thing is that this system also allows buyers their confidence, right? Because having this pool here, remember, Laura, we are actually airdropping a lot of value. Okay. At current numbers, it's like 600 plus million value. And that means that you need a lot of buy demand, right? So buyers need to have a lot of confidence. Okay. And then what happens is someone if the price starts fluctuating like crazy, right? The buyers have no confidence to buy, you know? But what this pool actually does is that it absorbs a lot of the sell demand, right? You know, from people dumping, right? And that's actually the reason why, despite it being such a major airdrop, you see the price increasing slowly, dropping a bit and being like remarkably consistent. You know, it's because you have this pool there, right? To really buffer a lot of the buy and sell demand, right? And honestly, I think it worked as planned. You know, it really worked as planned, right? So I'm really happy about that. But I feel like instead of trying to understand the mechanics, I feel like people were not interested in understanding mechanics, but they were really interested in like slander, you know? And that made me very, very upset, you know? Because we really, really spent a lot of time thinking about how to build a better launch pad, you know? I think we're not perfect, but I think we made progress, you know, into doing so. Yeah, so anyway, I apologize if I came across as like being very annoyed. You know, but it has been an extremely stressful few months. And then to finish off that with like a lot of fart and just unfounded for I don't get me wrong. Certain things I did wrongly, okay? I think I was very technical in how I described the pool, firstly. Okay? I apologize for that. Okay? And I assume a lot of context because I've been saying things in my Discord and live stream for a long time. So I apologize for that. Secondly, is that I understand why people might be confused because it's never seen before, right? In crypto, we have never experimented before with this model before, right? Of open model, launch model, that no one done it before, right? And thirdly, the price curve itself, I'll tell you, I'm actually very comfortable with the things. Let me tell you why. If I have successfully delivered a token, right, that's worth this amount, right, and it has stayed and it has been in the market, and we've stood all the selling pressures, right, you know, for 7 days, I feel very happy. I feel very happy I earned it, right? And if things go wrong, and it dips below some point, then I don't get anything, right? And I feel extremely comfortable with that, you know, in that sense, you know? So I think for anyone that wants to, so I'll say one other thing about Launchpad before I move on. We are trying to create a new model, okay? Once that does actually reward the team, you know, but also make sure the team actually stays responsible, not just for the initial pump, right, you know, but for a sustained amount of time. That's firstly, okay? We do actually want, so if you're a team that's looking to launch a token, right, you know, we want to help you raise, get the money, okay, Ken? But we want to help you do it in a way that is like good for you because you get a community, you get everything, and you do not leave your community hanging, okay, in case things don't go well, firstly, right? Yeah, and anyone who's interested in like improving this model, right? I'm on Twitter, Wemiao, right? I'm always available on Twitter. You see me on Twitter. I'm always available, right? If you ask me questions, right? You know, I'm always ready to answer. Post something on my forum, right? I'll answer you. I promise you. Okay, Ken? But don't come in bad faith. Okay, we really worked extremely hard last 2 years. Okay, right? And to do this at a time whereby we are the most vulnerable. Right, you know, I don't think it's good faith. Like seriously, people are just like copy and pasting random shit, you know, and I don't like that. Yeah.
And I think we're gonna release a white paper before the airdrop, but that didn't happen. When people expect that?
I don't know. Maybe February. I wanted to do white paper, but I think I got very caught up actually building a launch pad. So our whole team was like trying to build a launch pad, and we didn't do it. Anyway, to answer question earlier and stuff, I think what is coming up with this, right? I think we are looking for really good projects, right? You know, because we have a really good community and distribution, right? You know, I think we the launch is not perfect yet, but we are getting better, right? Even the Jupyter launch, we learn a lot of things, right? That we help, we can use to help other projects, you know, right? That's firstly. So we are looking for like great projects to launch on the Launchpad because we think that's great because that brings so much more excitement to the community. I love it, right? And then the second thing that we're looking, second thing to do is to obviously improve our products, right? I feel extremely happy with our set of products right now. Swap Aggregation, the LO, DCA, Perps, right? And Launchpad, right? And also Gateway, right? So the next step is really to improve those, right? So I think we have about, it's just about improving those things over the next 9 months, right? We don't need that many new products, but it's just really about making them much better, right? And thirdly is that we also want to invest in infra, you know, as well, you know, because we are getting to the point whereby like, okay, we do need to run a lot of our infra, you know, right? Whether it's around interchain infra or whether it's around like a validator infra, you know, so we do need to get to that point, right? And part of the reason why we want to make sure that we had capital moving to this new phase, we are actually going to start into a more like capital intense phase, you know, right? So that's what we're going to do as well, you know? Yeah. So those are plans. So basically a lot more new projects, a lot more high quality projects for Launchpad, firstly. Secondly is that to really improve our systems, products. Thirdly is to like really have a much longer term plan for infra needs and also start contributing to the Solana like validator, the core. And lastly is that I think there are a number of things I really want to drive, right? You know, for example, it's a crazy idea, but I don't see any reason why companies, like not crypto companies, the actual companies, right, cannot list on chain. Right? Why must they go to Nasdaq? Why must they go to Singapore Stock Exchange? Why must they go to Indonesia? Why can't they list on chain, right? You know, they can get much better community, much better funding, much better everything, you know? So I don't see why not, right? Obviously, it's a longer-term plan, right?
Wait, you're talking about like stocks or...
Yeah. Like listing, right? Like listing. Like if, say, for example, imagine you are a internet company, right? That's doing well, right? How do you make it possible, right, for you to list on chain? You know, versus going to, you know, like Frankfurt Stock Exchange or something, you know, right? How do we make it more compelling of it for you to list on chain? And secondly, obviously, on the flip side, right? How do the on-chain participants, right, know that you as a company has the right auditing, has the right, is certified and all that kind of stuff, right? So that's actually, but I think if we can bridge a gap, it'd be great, you know, because we will have like, you know, we want the next frontiers of like, you know, like really merging the, off-chain world, on-chain world, right? You know, like in the stock markets, you know? So that's, and then the other thing I really want to do is to really bring as many markets to Solana as possible. Because like, for example, Forex markets, RWA, all these markets, it's not assets, by the way. People talk about assets, but assets are not important. What's important is the markets, right? Because when you have you can have assets, but there's no market, that's pointless, right? You know? So what you need is markets, right? And then what Jupyter does is that Jupyter does a really good job, right? Of like just bring all those markets together and allowing you to transact across them one transaction, right? So basically what I want to do is that I want to personally like really drive to like help a lot of the companies like bring more assets, right? Like Forex and everything, right? Into the network, right? And working with Cumberland and other guys, right? Because if that happens, then you can literally go from like a private market asset to like a meme coin, right? You know, or and you can do those uses to pay for your PayPal, you know, something, you know, right? So I think the goal is to bring as many markets as possible into one network, which is Solana, right? Because when they're all on Solana, you can execute across all of them in an extremely cheap and fast manner, you know, and Jupyter can be helping with that. Yeah. So those are like the three. So we have a lot of things working on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds very ambitious. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on Unchained.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Don't forget, next up is the weekly news recap, today presented by Unchained contributor Megan Christensen. Stick around for This Week in Crypto after this short break. DeFi just got way easier with Vaultcraft, your no-code toolkit for building, deploying, and monetizing automated yield strategies in a few clicks. Forget spending months of R&D and capital when you can instantly launch your crypto fund with Vaultcraft on any EVM chain. From wallets and institutional service providers to non-DeFi degens, anyone can use Vaultcraft to supercharge their crypto. Join Vaultcraft's referral program, unite with the community, and supercharge your crypto. Details on vaultcraft.io.
Thanks for tuning in to the weekly news recap. I'm Megan Christensen, a producer here at Unchained. In a major turn of events, FTX, the giant cryptocurrency exchange that filed for bankruptcy in late 2022, informed a bankruptcy judge that it will not be reviving operations. This frees FTX to commit to fully repaying its customers. The failure to restart the exchange underscores how weak its infrastructure was, that it could not find a partner willing to put in the money and effort to build upon the remains of what was once a third largest crypto exchange by volume. This move is expected to bring some relief to the numerous customers affected by FTX's collapse, but pegging the value of customer accounts to the date FTX filed for relief left customers complaining that a collapsing FTX drove prices down for 9 days before it sought protection. Also this week, the FTX estate told Bloomberg that it had doubled the entity's cash reserves to $4.4 billion from the $2.3 billion in October. Meanwhile, a judge authorized the sale of FTX's Bahamas properties, including Sam Bankman-Fried's $40 million penthouse, as part of the exchange's bankruptcy proceedings. Lastly, in related news, Effective Ventures Foundation agreed to return about $26.8 million in donations received from FTX. Celsius Network, the cryptocurrency lending platform co-founded by Alex Mashinsky that was under Chapter 11 protection, has commenced the distribution of over $3 billion in assets to its creditors as part of its reorganization. This crucial step, confirmed by the United States Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York, coincides with the emergence of Celsius from bankruptcy. In addition to the distribution, Celsius creditors are now the owners of a new Bitcoin mining company, Ionic Digital Inc., created by Celsius with mining operations managed by Hut 8. Tether Holdings Limited, the entity behind the popular stablecoin Tether, reported an unprecedented financial performance for the fourth quarter of 2023. The firm's net profit soared to $2.85 billion, a notable milestone in its operational history. This achievement was largely driven by substantial earnings from U.S. Treasury securities, contributing approximately $1 billion to the net operating profits. The remainder of the profits primarily stem from the appreciation of the company's Bitcoin and gold reserves. The quarter also witnessed remarkable growth in Tether's excess reserves, which climbed by $2.2 billion, reaching a total of over $5.4 billion. These excess reserves are crucial in covering the firm's outstanding unsecured loans, which stood at $4.8 billion at the year's end, thereby addressing past community concerns about potential risks associated with this aspect of Tether's portfolio. For the entire year of 2023, Tether declared a net profit of $6.2 billion. This financial strength was attributed to various sources, including $4 billion from U.S. Treasury bonds and other non-crypto investments. The firm's total assets under management included significant holdings in U.S. Treasuries, Bitcoin, gold, and venture capital investments. Bankrupt crypto lender Genesis reached a settlement agreement with the SEC regarding a civil lawsuit, Bloomberg reported Thursday afternoon. This lawsuit accused Genesis of violating securities regulations through its Gemini Earn program. Genesis, a subsidiary of Digital Currency Group, has agreed to pay a $21 million civil penalty to resolve these allegations. However, the payment of this penalty is contingent on the company's ability to fully repay its customers and other creditors in its Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings. The settlement, pending approval by a bankruptcy judge, addresses claims that Genesis illegally raised funds from investors via the Gemini Earn program. This program, operated in collaboration with Gemini Trust Co., offered interest payments to customers for loaning their digital assets. The SEC had argued that this constituted an offering of unregistered securities. Both Genesis and Gemini have denied any wrongdoing, asserting that the Earn program was not a security. The program has been terminated since then. German police executed one of their largest cryptocurrency seizures, confiscating over 2.1 billion euros worth of Bitcoin. This operation focused on dismantling an illegal, covert streaming service. The seizure at the scale was a major blow to digital piracy networks leveraging cryptocurrencies. Concurrently, in the UK, the police made a significant seizure of nearly £1.8 billion in Bitcoin, linked to an investment fraud scheme originating in China. This operation was part of a broader investigation that stretched across international borders, highlighting the increased global efforts to track and seize digital assets connected to criminal activities. Binance, the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the world by volume, now permits larger traders to store assets with two external banks, possibly due to concerns arising from its recent $4.3 billion U.S. regulatory fine. This operational change comes as high-volume traders increasingly seek platforms with robust security and stability in a dynamic regulatory environment. Binance has entered into partnerships with Signum Bank and Flow Bank to custody these assets. These collaborations are geared towards enhancing the access and management of cryptocurrencies for users. Sygnum Bank specializes in digital asset banking, while Flow Bank operates as an online bank in Switzerland. On Wednesday, Ripple suffered a significant security breach, with co-founder Chris Larsen confirming that his personal accounts were exploited. The hackers stole approximately $113 million. Larsen's acknowledgement of the unauthorized transfers has brought attention to the security vulnerabilities even high-profile individuals in the crypto industries can face. Abracadabra.money, a decentralized platform, suffered an exploit. This security breach led to the destabilization of Magic Internet money, causing it to lose its peg to the US dollar. The exploit was executed through a series of complex transactions that manipulated the price of the collateral in the Ethereum cauldrons, ultimately leading to the unauthorized withdrawal of funds. The immediate impact of this incident was a noticeable depegging of the MIM token from its intended one-to-one parity with the US dollar. MIM went as low as 0.76 before it rebounded to 0.98. Polygon Labs, the development team behind the Polygon blockchain, announced a reduction of its workforce by 19%, following a period of rapid expansion during the last cryptocurrency bull run. The layoffs come as the company adjusts to the current market climate and refocuses its strategy for sustainable growth. This decision reflects a broader trend in the tech and crypto industries, where companies are reassessing their growth strategies and workforce needs in response to the changing market conditions. For instance, this week, fintech giant PayPal fired nearly 2,500 employees. For the remaining employees of Polygon Labs, there was good news, however. Polygon concurrently announced that it was giving employees company-wide a 15% raise and eliminating geographic differences in pay. And that's all. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this recap, go to unchainedcrypto.substack.com. That is unchainedcrypto.substack.com and sign up for our free newsletter so that you can stay up to date with the latest in crypto. Unchained is produced by Laura Shin with help from Nelson Wang, Matt Pilchard, Juan Aronovich, Megan Gavis, Shashank, and Margaret Correa. The weekly recap was written by Juan Aronovich and edited by Jean-Hee Kim. Thanks for listening.
Unchained is now a part of the CoinDesk Podcast Network. For the latest in digital assets, check out Markets Daily, 5 days a week, with host Noel Atchison. Follow the CoinDesk Podcast Network for some of the best shows in crypto.